Okay. Sally, would you read Romans, the 12th chapter? We're going to revisit some more on Romans, the 12th chapter. I guess read from 1 to 5 or 1 to 6.
Romans 12, 1 through 6. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differently according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the perpetuation of our faith. The proportion of our faith.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to kind of go back just a little bit. But in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we've talked about it several times, but for a sacrifice to be living, there's got to be something wrong with it. The sacrifices, the lambs, were picked out of the temple flocks, and they were spotless. And if they were dedicated to God, and then if they were found that they had a blemish on them, they couldn't be sacrificed. But they couldn't do anything with it, so they had to put it back into the flock. So that's a living sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that had already been dedicated to God, that had a blemish on it, and so it couldn't be killed and offered. Couldn't be sacrificed on the altar. And that's just like we are. We have blemishes. I don't know anybody in here that doesn't have a blemish. Amen? But praise God for Jesus. He washed as white as snow. Through the blood of Jesus, we're covered. So we become, and Paul is saying, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're supposed to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. You know, we talked about that in the original creative act, when God made man in his image, he was dedicated to God. Adam and Eve were dedicated to God. Boop, something happened. The fall. They became blemished. They couldn't be sacrificed. They couldn't do what God wanted them to do. But praise God, we have a merciful God. Amen. We have a merciful God. He had a plan. He sent his son, the Lamb of God, the only person who was without blemish. I mean, you just think about it. The only person that was without blemish, he died on the cross for you and me. He died on the cross for you and I so that we could be saved. We could be whole and we could become, and that's what Paul is talking about, that we would be that living sacrifice. You know, praise God. You know, as I shared it, and I think about it all the time, knowing this, it makes it a little easier sometimes the days when the blemishes that we have really show up. Have you ever gone through, sometimes it seems like all I have is blemishes. We're still his own. We're still dedicated to him. We're still set aside, even though when we see our own blemishes. It's not about perfection. It's about grace. Praise God. Though we were dead and buried with him, we live. It's just awesome to think about it. And then in verse 2, he said that, do not be conformed to this world, but by the transforming of your mind, or the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, to this age. I mean, it's so easy. It's so easy to just go with the flow and be conformed to this age, to the way things are going. It's so easy to do it. But Paul is saying, don't be conformed to this age. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the Word of God. That's the reason it's so important to study the Word of God, understand the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and let the Word of God, let God work in you, that you're transformed. You just don't go along with the flow. You know, it's so easy to just not go along with the flow. Amen? Praise God. So we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. We're not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it says, this scripture, I'm skipping some, but it says that in verse 3, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Not to think more highly than he ought to think. Paul says that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we must. Do not have higher thoughts of yourself than you must have. In the natural man, the natural way, every person thinks of himself as the most important person in the world. And you say, oh, not me. Not me. Have you ever said that? You just look at how you live your life. There's so many times, I'm not talking about you group, not this group. This group doesn't do that. But there's so many people that everything they do is for me. It's all about me. It's all about me. This is the natural expression of ego. It's all about me. For those outside of Jesus, the world revolves around them. You just talk to people. You just stop people on the street and you talk to them. And you'll find out that everything they do, it's all around about them. It's all about me. As we talked about last week as we closed, Paul was talking about sound judgment. We use Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 15. It's when Jesus was ministering to the demoniac. He had legions of demons. He was living amongst the graveyards. He was crazy, and he was tearing himself, and he was doing all that. And Jesus came to that place, and he spoke to him, and he was healed. When the people came back to found Jesus, there was a demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. to describe the demoniac's return to sanity, it says that he was in his right mind. You know, the book of Proverbs, written so much of Proverbs is to exercise wisdom as to demonstration of godly humility. From the biblical perspective, the opposite of the word redeem is pride. Redeem is God's lifted up. But pride is strength lifted up. I'm lifted up. When I enter in to the right mind, I'm serving the King. I find my place where I am a delight to God and a blessing to others. When you're in your right mind. Paul is concerned that the very essence of the Christian way is not my world, and I must act as though it is. Those who do are crazy. You're not in your right mind when your world revolves around you. Amen? And in verse 3, for I say, though, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Do you think that Paul is saying that God gives you some amount of faith? Like a storekeeper would sell you a certain amount of something. Do you think or imagine that God pours a certain amount, certain quality of faith, quantity of faith into you and bottles you up for further use, or bottles that faith up for further use? That's what we think the verse is really saying by the translation that we read. And it ignores the whole context of faith by forcing faith. And we've talked about this over and over, whether we think of have conjured up in a Greek mold or Hebrew mold. You know, the Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Jesus was a Hebrew. Paul was a Hebrew. Peter was a Hebrew. They were all Hebrews. In the Bible, faith is not a thing. It is an active relationship of trust with Him. Which so many times we forget about that. I mean, we think faith is something we can hold on to. Faith is an active relationship of trust. When I have faith in God, I'm trusting Him. With His faith, I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting what He's doing in my life. You know, it says that the measure of faith. The Greek for measure is metron. It's not about quantity. It's about the measuring tool. Metron is not an amount. It is a thing we use to measure an amount. It is the standard of measurement. That's what God gives. God supplies to every believer the perfect standard for measuring our dependence and our trust in Him. God gives you the ability to determine how you are doing. Sometimes when I see that, I think, well, I'm not really doing as good as what I need to be doing. Amen? He makes it possible for us to judge our relationship with Him so that we know our devotion to Him precisely. Jesus compared it to the standard. What is the measuring standard? Faith. That's the measure. That's the metron. That's the measure. Faith. Faith is the Hebrew equivalent of trustworthiness, dependability, and truth. God gives us the measuring stick of faith, His trustworthiness, His reliability, and His truth. It is His active benevolence toward us. That's what faith is. That's the measuring. So God has given to every believer a metron, a measure of faith, a measuring stick of what good, fitted, and fulfilled is. This is important because it means that the gifts given for the edification of the body, which is what Paul gets into in the further verses down in Romans 12, this is important because it means that the gifts given for the edification of the body do not and cannot come from you and me. It's not about us. It's about Him. You know, our whole walk with Him is not about us. And we like to make it about us. Don't we? It's not about us. You know, these gifts that God has given us depend entirely on God's gracious giving. He allots them to everyone. He has given all of us gifts. No one's exempt. You know, sometimes you go along and you say, I don't have a gift. I don't have a gift. You know what that is? In reality, it means you're prideful. You don't like to hear that. No one is excused. God gives, you receive. It all comes about because of relationship. How do we get into a relationship with Him? The only way we're going to get into a relationship with Him is accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Repent. You know, we live a life of repentance. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to repent and God forgive me, and then I don't have to repent anymore. That ain't the way it works. Sorry for the correct English. We have to live a life of repentance. How do we come into a relationship with the Father, with Jesus? Jesus died on the cross. We ask Him to come into our lives. We repent of all of our sins, all the junk that we have. Ask Him. And we ask Him to come into our lives. We accept Him and give ourselves to Him. And He forgives us and washes us white as snow with His blood. It's through the blood of Christ. He did it on the cross for you and I. He did it. All we have to do is repent and say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm giving you my life. You know, we try to make it complicated. It's really not complicated. All we got to do is say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I'm giving you my life. Here it is, as messed up as it is and everything else. Here it is. Come, have your way in my life. Wow. Have your way. It all comes about because of relationship. Faith is grain of a mustard seed. When I'm in relationship, I'll have that faith. When I'm in a relationship with the Lord, I have faith. What do you do with the gift God has given is measured by the standard of faith. That is, by the standard of trustworthiness, reliability, and truth. The gifts that God gives are tied to the measuring stick, just as the weight is tied to a scale. What I'm saying is that faith is demonstrated in how I act, how I exercise the gift that God has given. God provides me with a standard and turns me loose to go for it. with what he's given me. Faith is not something I can keep in my pocket for a rainy day. We live daily trusting him, trusting his trustworthiness, his reliability. It only shows when I'm living within the arena of the gift God has given me, I will discover his standard. I will become the manifestation of his will. I will experience good, fitted, and fulfilled. I will know what he wants me to do, and I will find that doing it is exactly what I want. My faith will become my reality because I will delight God and I'll bless others. You can tell what you're doing. Are you blessing other people? Are you a blessing to people? As we study and look at verses 4 and 5, it's the glorious interdependence of all the gifts orchestrated by God for the completion of the body. That's what Paul has been leading up to, is the completion of the body of Christ. As we'll get into this thing, we are in a body. You know, my finger can't do something independent of my arm. We're in a body. We depend on one another. Amen? We depend on him, but we depend on one another. So many times, all the church is today is certain people sitting in the pews and letting other people do everything. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is everyone has a part. Everyone does a part. In verse 4 it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Four. As we have many members. Paul is moving from one point to the next, for saying that what Paul said up to this point is now coming to a conclusion. Let's review what Paul has been saying. In the previous verses, Paul makes the point that we are a living sacrifice. We talked about, I guess this is the third week we talked about a living sacrifice. And as a result, we're not molded by this age. We are transformed by thinking God's thoughts after him. And in doing so, we become the living examples of God's will. You know, let your light shine. Let people see Jesus in you. We've talked about that. We just talked. But out in the world, we're to let people, we're to have people see Jesus in us. Amen? That doesn't mean you have to go preach to everybody. It's just let them see the goodness and the mercies and the trustworthiness of God. Let them see Jesus in you. We're transformed by thinking God's thoughts after him. That's the reason why you have to read the word. Because that's what he says. That's what you hear. That's his thoughts. In doing so, we become the living examples of God's will. We see his handiwork in and through our lives. Others see his handiwork in and through our lives. You know, the first thing that we must conquer in this transformation is the natural desire to regard ourselves as important. I guess one of the biggest things that I think happens is we've got, by being transformed, we conquer the natural desires to regard ourselves as important. And even though sometimes you don't say, you don't go around telling people, look at me, look at me, look at me, how important I am. If you start saying, oh, woe me, woe me, woe me, you're thinking you're important because you want somebody to feel sorry for you. What? To have a right mind. Remember the demoniac when the people came back to see Jesus? There he was sitting, listening to Jesus talk in his right mind. To have a right mind is to submit to God of all creation and let him run the show. Wow. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes that gets hard for me to do, is let him run the show. Especially, you know, I know a lot of quote, capable people. They really have a hard time letting God run the show. I'm blessed because I'm not that capable. No, just gotta have a laugh. We gotta laugh, amen? We gotta laugh. But to have a right mind is to submit to God of all creation and let him run the show. He provides each of us with the correct standard for measuring our relationship with him. Faith. Therefore, we're to function just like a body. Can you imagine how my body would function if my hand said, I don't want anything to do with you? Or my foot said, I don't want anything to do with you. How would my body function? Wouldn't function very well, would it? So we're to function just like a body. So we've got to exercise what God has given to us individually so that the entire body, the community, will be in alignment with God's purpose. No one's excluded. I know a lot of people like to sit in the church and don't do anything but just come to church and go home and not be a part. Have you seen some of those people in some churches? Everyone has a role to play. That part is what God allots and assigns to each person. Since God is directing this human orchestra, you know, God's directing this orchestra of life. Sometimes we forget that he is really orchestrating everything. Sometimes we think it's, oh, this is that happened, that's happened. God doesn't have anything to do with that. I'm sorry to say, God is doing, he's orchestrating everything. Sometimes when things go to hell in a handbasket, I say, God, come straighten this mess out. And then he reminds me, he says, why don't you trust me? I'll handle it. Yeah, but sometimes we think we've got to straighten it out. Amen. You know, God determines the music. And he determines the instruments. He knows exactly what you and I were designed to be. When we play according to God's design, we not only find ourselves perfectly fitted to the task, we delight God, and we benefit others at the same time. That is the overall plan. His plan is for us to do what he tells us to do and to be fitted to the task. Delight him and benefit others. The body of Christ is to benefit each other. Amen? So many times we just think about take, 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 take. No, we got to give, give, give. We got We got to participate. Paul is saying that if you're not participating in the community exactly as God designed you, you are frustrating his intention, compromising the performance of the community, and corrupting yourself. You are like the foot that wants to be the hand. You're trying to drive the car with your feet. Feet are not designed to do that kind of work. Therefore, if you don't know exactly how God has designed you to function optimally in the world, you cannot help but experience discouragement and disappointment. Have you ever experienced discouragement and disappointment? Yeah, we all have. But we got to think, God, what do you have me to do? Why? Where am I not serving you and my fellow believer? Where am I not fitting into the body? And when we come to him openly, confessing, he's going to show us. You're the hand. Somebody else is the foot. Do this, do that. When we aren't doing what God designed us to do, we don't have joy at work. You know, you ask people in the world so much, are you enjoying your work? I forget the percentage. I've seen the percentage thing that says people working are not enjoying what they're doing. They just go to work just to get some money. They don't enjoy that wonderful Hebrew concept. We've talked about it at other times. But that work and worship are the same thing. In the Hebrew way of looking at things, the Old Testament way of looking at things, Jesus' way of looking at things, work and worship are the same thing. We're to do everything as unto the Lord. When we do everything as unto the Lord, whether it's work, play, come to church and worship, everything is unto the Lord, we're worshiping him. You thought worship was just coming in here on Sunday morning and singing songs, didn't you? That's not everything that worship is. Sure, we worship when we come in here and feel his presence and sing songs to him and glorify his name. But when I enjoy what God has put me doing, when I'm enjoying the work that I'm doing, I'm worshiping him. Because I'm doing it because he wanted me. He told me to do it. I've been to a place one time, maybe more than one time, where I was doing things that I did it for me, and it wasn't what he wanted, and I became miserable at it. I mean, I did okay. I succeeded in certain things, but I was inside of me, I was miserable. The transforming process is designed to push us to the place where we ask, who am I supposed to be? And God will show you. Verse 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Praise God. I mean, if we all did the same thing, wouldn't it be a mess? We don't have the same function. So we, being many, are one body as Christ and individual members of one another. For as we can use for as the appropriate measuring stick of trust in God with regard to the exercise of the gift he gives each one of us is his measuring stick, not ours. It's his measuring stick, not ours. We can use the gift for all kinds of purposes. After all, it's a gift given to us. Really, I see it at birth. It's the way we were designed to be. But the only measuring stick of the appropriate use of the gift is God's determination about how we should use the gift. That's the measuring stick, faith, the metron, faith. Anything else is just misuse and abuse. You and I think we're being successful or creative or productive, but many times it's just a slam. If we don't use the gift that God intended to be used, has intended to be used, we lose. That's why Paul wants us to underline the connection to the body metaphor. We're connected to one another. The body of Christ is connected to one another. If you don't use your arms or your legs for what they were designed to do, you're not being very productive. You know, you can walk on your hands. Not I can't, but some people. You've seen people walking on their hands? But it'll cause problems. If you walked all the time on your hands, I'm a hand, I want to be a feet. So I start walking on my hands, it's going to cause problems in my body. When I'm using parts of my body that are not meant to be doing that, then I have problems in my body. It's exactly the same way. Not using the gift of God has given you us and the way God wants it used will cause other problems for the corporate body. You know, as I was looking at this and studied it, and when I realized that it's, you know, when we don't do what God wants us to be and we're not fitting in where God wants us to fit in, we mess up the whole corporate body. Why do you think maybe that's what's wrong with the church today is that people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not happy at worship. They're not happy at work. Not worship, but work. Work is worship. If I'm not happy with where God has put me, then I make me and everybody else miserable. Amen? As we will discover, each gift depends on and benefits all the others. None stand alone. That means that when it comes to the exercise of the gifts of God's community, there's no hierarchy. In reality, there's no professionals. It's easy to just let the professionals do it. In God's deal, there's no professionals. There's no staff. There's no senior positions. Those are the inventions of men designed to prop up our need to control. But the exercise of gifts cut right across this. There's only one head, Jesus Christ. Only one head, and he orchestrates all the other functions as he sees fit. All we got to do is submit to him and fall into where he wants us and listen to him. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Get to know the Word. Get to know the Word. Hands, feet, ears, eyes, mouth, nose. They're all equal. They're necessary and they're equally able do what they're supposed to do. But when one of those parts tries to be somebody special and do something, you know, look at me deal, it becomes treacherous when it's misused. So as we close this study and today, a question, my question to each one of us, are we using our gifts as we should? I don't go home and go analyzing and write it down and analyze. You ask God. You know, he's so merciful. He's so trustworthy. He's so faithful that when we come humbly before the throne of grace, when we come humbly before him, and we say, God, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? In reality, sometimes we got to hear, you know, husbands have to ask their wives to help them because they can keep them straight, you know. And sometimes the wife has to ask the husband to keep, you know, we bounce, you know, we're kind of like a sharpening stones, you know, buffer each other, you know. That's what the body of Christ is to do. We're supposed to be helping each other. Amen? Are we to be helping each other? Not criticizing, helping. But we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask God to help us, show us, are we using the gift that you've given me as we should? Amen? Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you this morning. We glorify you. Lord, we thank you that faith is trusting you and being in a relationship with you, trusting what you're doing in our lives. And God, we just ask that you would continue, show us the gift that you've given each one of us. Lord, that we would be that those gifts. You know, it says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Teaching, in our teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Praise God. Lord, help us. Show us our gift. What part, where we're to be plugged in to your body. And we thank you and we magnify you. And Lord, we just thank you that you are showing us and working in our lives to bring us into that place that we are a whole body. We're a whole community. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen.